Wednesday, February 9th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry John Stonestreet recently wrote an article. The theme of the article was, is it a good idea to stop the stigma? John pointed to an ad that is running on radio in Ohio right now, talking about how we shouldn't stigmatize people who might be caught up in addictive behavior. Harry, in this article, he asked the question, is that really a good idea? Should we stop the stigma?
He also identifies the fact of the research and what is being promoted in the field of medicine and psychology, pedophilia, for instance. The notion is we're doing studies, and in the womb, sometimes there is a malfunctioning dynamic, and so when someone's born, they are born with an impulse to pedophilia because of what is in the DNA of that person. Tom, we've been watching this for years now. This is the product of the Freudian revolution, which is we want to deny sin and the sinfulness of sin and personal responsibility of sin by portraying ourselves as a victim. I recently listened to a speech in the gathering of a church court in which the individual compared their homosexual desires to someone being born with a kidney disease or somebody being born with red hair. This is what I have in my life. I am erotically attracted to men. That's the way I was born. I admit that I shouldn't be. In this case, it was a Christian assembly. And he says, I admit that I shouldn't be, so I'm not going to practice it, but I know this is going to be a part of my life. This is the way God made me. Pedophilia, now we're being told it's a disease. It is a malfunctioned medical, biological, physical issue that started somewhere in the womb. Sexual promiscuity, sexual perversion. So what we now would once call sin, of which we need to confess and repent and flee to Christ, who breaks the power of sin and forgives the guilt and shame of sin, what we're now saying is, no, it's not really sin. I'm a victim. I'm not a violator of God's law. I'm not a transgressor. I have been transgressed. I am a victim of an imperfection. And so what I need is your affirmations, not your admonitions. Don't stigmatize, just empathize with me. Well, do we empathize with people in addictive sins? Absolutely. Do we reach out to love them? Absolutely. But part of loving them is to identify sin and its sinfulness and its consequences. And part of loving them is telling them that the gospel is the power of God. And God has the power through Christ to forgive you of that sin, to break the power of canceled sin. He not only can cancel your sin, he can break the power of canceled sin, and he can set you on a journey of grace whereby you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ in eradicating not only the deeds of sin, but the words of sin and the thoughts of sin. The rest of your life will never be perfect on this side of glory, but he will be perfecting you for glory as you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ.
Harry, thought comes to mind the verse from Judges 21, all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. The fact that we have radio campaigns, we have churches and denominations saying, let's not stigmatize by pointing the finger. Are people trying to find a way to justify what they really want to do?
Yes, and the way to justify it without guilt is to say, let's don't associate guilt with sin. And so if you love people, you don't want them to feel guilty. So I tell you what, let's say that it's okay to do this. And by the way, I'm not really doing it. I'm a victim. Hey, I didn't make my hair red. I didn't make my eyes blue. That's what I was born with.
So are they blaming God then?
Oh, absolutely. Well, if they believe in God, they're ultimately blaming God. Now, what does the Bible say? Yes, the Bible says you are born that way. What do I mean by that? Now, folks, do not go edit that out. Listen to me. What the Bible says when you're born that way, yes, we are born with broken bodies because of the curse of sin. But our immoral acts are not biologically determined. They may biologically be affirmed In other words, once you start sinning, there are physiological and chemical dynamics that deepen that sin. For instance, once you view pornography, there are chemical things that burn those images into your brain that are there. So I am not saying that your body doesn't affirm and enhance the sin. What we're saying when we're saying you're born that way is we sin because we're born sinners, not the imperfections of our DNA. It is the fact that we're born with a sin nature. When Adam sinned, we sinned in Adam, and we are born with the sin nature of Adam. Therefore, our actual sins come from our original sin, our sin nature. If you've got a problem, you can never get the solution until you acknowledge the problem. How did we deal with obesity, sexual immorality, sexual perversion, sexual anarchy? How do we deal with drunkenness? How do we deal with all of that? Well, we recognize there will be a physiological affirmation and deepening of that sin if it goes unchecked and if it continues in our life. But the way you get to the issue, it is not a cosmetic bodily makeover. That's not what you need. You're not a victim of your physiological situation. The Bible's clear. The heart of the problem is the problem with the heart. There are things that are happening in my life and I'm making choices. I'm a real person. I'm not a robot. How do you address it? Here's what the Bible says. 5 steps. Let me just give them to you. Number one, confess your sins. Acknowledge this is a sin. It's not a bodily malfunction in my life that I want to have an erotic relationship with a child or someone of the same sex or that I want drunkenness. I am making that decision. I did it. And you confess, number one, that sin. Number two, I did the sin. Here's what the Bible said. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. There's the removal of the guilt. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can be born again where the old passes away and the new comes as you begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But you got to, number one, confess a sin. Number two, own the fact that you're a sinner. I did this. Please forgive me. Number three, realize the sinfulness of sin. Sin is never private. It doesn't stop with you. It has other people that you are victimizing with the sin. You're not a victim, you are a violator, but now sin also has impact in the lives of other people. And then number four, confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is sufficient. He can forgive you of sin's guilt, and He can break sin's power. And when you fix your eyes on Him, fill up with His Word, walk in the Spirit among the people of God as they love you well, you can begin to put off the old man and put on the new. And then the fifth thing that you do is you live a life in Christ in which you flee temptation and fill up. What they're saying is you don't need to mortify sin. You can manage sin. Sin is just a syndrome that needs to be managed. But what we confess is sin and it's sinful and we don't want to manage it. We want to mortify it. What the culture wants to do with sin is make the unimaginable imaginable. That's why they identify these behaviors as syndromes instead of sins. They want to make the unimaginable imaginable. Because if you can make it imaginable, then the unthinkable becomes thinkable. Here's what the Bible says. When you come to Christ, you're forgiven and you become hupernikes, more than conquerors, through Christ who loves us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity and Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/thewordprogressiveCD. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Thursday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.